goes on. We've got Denise Salcedo here.
I'm back.
You are back. You're on everything these days.
I know, right? I finally had like a lot going on like the last 2 weeks, which I'm really glad about because it's so boring right now.
Oh my gosh. Try living in Kentucky. At least you live in LA.
Yeah, but we can't go anywhere.
That's a good point.
And the numbers here are skyrocketing. I'm terrified to even go to the supermarket. People are nasty. You should see some of the things I've seen.
They are nasty. They are nasty. And so is WWE counter-programming. Bunch of naughty Nancys. They put on 2 weeks of the Great American Bash. Triple H says that he doesn't counter-program. He programs for what's best for NXT. I don't think those two are mutually exclusive, Denise. I think that he can just say, yeah, of course we counter-program because that's best for NXT. The way that he downplays everything so much is almost, it's insulting to my intelligence.
But here's the thing, though. He, in that quote, he did mention that if people don't think that this isn't a competition, that's naive. So he didn't necessarily allude to the fact that he is being competitive, but at the same time, he's doing what's right for NXT. And I just think that he worded it differently. But I think if you read in between the lines, if what's better for NXT is to go head to head and really put everything they have against AEW, then that's what's best for NXT. So I just think it's a read in between the lines situation.
Sure, I just think that the way that he says it tries to downplay it, and I'm like, man, I don't know. It's just progressively, I've noticed since like last fall, Triple H has become, I don't want to say more politically correct, but more company in that regard, and where he doesn't speak for himself as much as he speaks for the company.
But he kind of has to, though, don't
sure.
you think?
He, sure.
If he comes across and says like, yeah, we want to get AEW out of here. We want to screw them. Imagine how bad that would look and how that would sound. I actually think that taking the politically correct approach is a little bit like, yeah, haha, like this is what we're doing. But so what? This is a competition. And let's face it, they could be doing a lot more.
Fair point. Sarah Logan, I was so disappointed a couple weeks ago when she said she would be stepping away from wrestling. I'm not disappointed now. She's having a child. She's having a child with Eric of the Viking Raiders. I couldn't be happier. She is in her mid-20s. I think she's like 26 years old. So by the time she has a child, she'll be 27. If she wants to return to wrestling, if she wants to try MMA after that, she's got a lot of years ahead of her. We were talking about Becky Lynch being like 33. I think it is. And a lot of people are like, oh, why couldn't she wait? Why couldn't she wait? Well, because pregnancy after 35 doesn't always go so smoothly for people.
Pregnancy after 30.
Yeah, you don't just get to decide like, oh, but there we go. It's not the way that it works. I applaud her. I'm glad. I'm stoked for her that she's doing this because, quite frankly, this was the time to do it. And whenever she comes back, if she comes back, she'll be rejuvenated, she'll have spent some time away, and she'll have a family. Plus, she has her husband there in the company still. And she can do her outside projects. I think this is great.
Yeah, you know, I'm really happy for her. And it's funny because, you know, people are going to have opinions of when, you know, someone should get pregnant or when they shouldn't get pregnant. But at the end of the day, it's everybody's decision. And it's not an easy decision to make, especially if you're a career-oriented person, you know, like Becky Lynch, like Sarah Logan. So if anything, this is great timing for her. Like, she's obviously still very young. And like I said, I think it's after 30 where you start getting all of these complications or you have to get like extra tests and all of this stuff. I don't know. I've never been pregnant, but this is what I've just heard. And so, you know what? Good for her. Like I said before with Becky Lynch, she's not missing out on anything right now. There's no crowds. She's good. When she comes back, people are going to lose their minds, get a great pop. Who knows if Sarah Logan's coming back, but if she does, I mean, I just think right now her focus is someplace else, and it's where it should be.
And she's been on TV effectively since she was 20. Since, like, I think a couple weeks before she turned 21, she did extra work as, like, a makeup artist. She did, like, a concession manager thing, I think with Kane. She did a SmackDown spot. She's done stuff as a Rosebud. She had worked enhancement matches on NXT before she ever even got a developmental contract. At like 23 years old. So more power to her. I wish her the best of luck. I interviewed Kylie Rae yesterday. Do you know how excited I was for that, Denise?
I could only imagine because I haven't seen her do very many interviews since she left AEW, which has still been a...
She's done one besides me. She did Alicia, and that's it. And I could tell that was more of a friendly-based thing, and I had never talked to Kylie before. I wanted to interview her at Black Label Pro in February, the same night of AEW Revolution. I interviewed Danhausen, AJ Gray, Eric Stevens there. But I was, like, I don't get nervous or starstruck to ask anybody for interviews. It's just, like, I don't know what she's been through over the last year because she's been very private about it. But you know she's been through something, and that's all that you know. And I had posted a thing saying, hey, who would you all like me to do interviews with? And somebody said her. And I said, I would love to do that interview. I wanted to. I was just nervous. And we got in contact and set it up. Now, we did establish ahead of time that she had said her piece about her departure from AEW. But we do talk about AEW on that show. We talk about Impact on that show. We talk about her meeting CM Punk before she ever got into wrestling. We talk about Booker T. It's a really interesting story because she alludes to the change that she's went through over the last year, but I was a little bit shocked by this, not to put over my own work, but the fact that I was able to land this interview, I was a little bit surprised. That leads me to ask you, like, who is one of your most sought out interviews?
Somebody that I haven't gotten or somebody that I did end up getting?
Or either
still
or.
Haven't gotten?
Both.
Okay, so my hardest one, okay, so there was two people. One of them was Roman Reigns, and I will tell you why. So the reason why I was so happy when I finally got Roman Reigns was because I had missed him twice before that. Oh. And by missed him, like, I took an interview with somebody else. I think it was Stephanie and Charlotte. But there was no time to get Roman Reigns. It was kind of like he started doing an interview with somebody else. Did somebody else. By the time I was done with one interview, I just couldn't get the opportunity back. So it took me, I missed him twice, and I was so angry. And so when I finally got him, it was kind of a big deal. And I was so happy, too, because that day I got him first. I felt really happy. And then Becky Lynch was another one, mainly because at the events that I had covered, which was the SmackDown 20th anniversary carpet, she didn't do press, at least I don't. She might have done just, like, the really, really big outlets, but she didn't do any of the small ones. So I kind of felt like she was sort of out of reach for me at that point. So then when I got her as well, that was a big, exciting thing as well. God. And then in terms of people that I still want to get, I have been trying so hard to get Kurt Angle, and I just keep getting, like, the NO. That one has not happened yet for me. And I missed him as well at the SmackDown 20th anniversary. I didn't get him there. And I do want someday a longer interview with Triple H because the one I had was very short, as all red carpet interviews are. Yeah. But those were some of the ones that I would like. And obviously one day I would like to interview John Cena or The Rock, but in terms of like movie situation stuff.
We should see about getting you on those Triple H media calls.
And I also tried with Batista as well, but that one didn't work out either.
Me
I
too.
Tried with The Miz. That one didn't work out either, so I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to sit this out.
Yep, I've tried with Batista, too. I was going to drive to Louisville when he was in for a Comic-Con. Didn't work. Ah, what a bummer. We have some WWE COVID news. Kayla Braxton, who we've talked about how she kind of handled things. WWE wrestlers that I talked to praised her for how she handled her COVID situation. She told WWE that she could be named on a memo, that how she thinks she got it could be named on a memo. And since then, WWE hasn't informed anybody of anything. Do you think they should be, or do you think that should kind of be a private matter between the person that has it, even though they may have been exposed to somebody in the performance center?
I think it should be a collaboration between the company and the person. If the person wants to share the information, then by all means, then go for it. If the person doesn't want to share that information, because I remember when COVID, you know, just started being a thing, and there were certain families that, you know, had gotten it, and they would just say, oh, it was in this area, in this city. People in the comment section were like, what's the address, and where do they live, and we need to know. And I'm like, why do you need to know where they live? That just to me is a little extreme. So because of that, I do see why people would not want to come out about having COVID, because they're not everyone is a rational thinker. And I think if anything, this pandemic has taught us that. And you just never know what people can do with that information.
Speaking of some information, I had posted a Fightful Select update last week that a returning Raw superstar, and there were plenty of them this week, had met with Vince McMahon and said, "Hey, yo, your homeboys here are not wearing masks. They're touching all over each other. This has got to change." And Vince McMahon is kind of holed up in his office all day and doesn't really see it. Vince McMahon walked out. He looked at everything and he said, "Yep, you're right. Masks are now mandated and fines will be implemented otherwise. I think this is a great move." It should have happened before, Denise. It should have happened a long time ago. Better late than never, in my opinion.
Right. And I just think, like, people need to also take responsibility themselves. Like, you shouldn't have to wait for somebody to enforce it. Like, if you know that this is, everybody has the same access to everything. Everybody can read the same news articles, read the same facts, whatever. I just think everyone should also take personal responsibility. And clearly people are. But yeah, just don't wait for people to tell you. Just do it.
Heath Slater was on Raw this week. Where do you think we see him end up next?
I don't know. I feel like a lot of people were really excited to see him, and obviously he had a new aura to him. So I think whatever he does, it'll go well. And I think maybe even with his reception and how he got, I won't be surprised if maybe we just keep seeing him in WWE, but I don't know.
I'm thinking Impact, a team with Rhino, but I think that he would have figured into WWE's plans a little bit more if Jinder Mahal didn't get hurt. I think that if Jinder Mahal didn't get hurt, we were probably going to look at a Drew McIntyre, Jinder Mahal feud right now, and that Heath Slater would have factored in a little bit. But for now, I see him going around the indies, and I see him appearing in Impact.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I definitely was not going to get on board with the Jinder Mahal, Drew McIntyre thing whatsoever.
I would have for one pay-per-view. For one pay-per-view, just because there's good story there.
I would take a Raw match and that's it.
I would have been fine with a Raw match if they built the Raw match. If they made it seem like, okay, former WWE champion Jinder Mahal against current WWE champion Drew McIntyre, and they are former friends. I like to build that up as a bigger match. I think that would have been good. I just wanted like a good 4 or 5 week story. Then you can move on. You don't have to do that one to death, but there is story there. And Louis Dangor of WrestleTalk, he appears on the Fightful Wednesday Night War show, says that Orton is now in Drew McIntyre's SummerSlam plans. What do you think of Orton on a collision course for Drew McIntyre?
I'm here for it. Drew McIntyre needs credible opponents. He needs somebody to make his reign worthy. And Orton right now is hot, and he's coming off this hot feud with Edge. He's going to need something hot, and I think they can both do it. This would be money.
You know all about villains, Denise.
Do I now?
One. Guys, make sure you all check out Denise, instinctculture.com. Thank you all for joining us. She might be back next week. I think Jimmy's still traveling. I don't know what the hell he's doing. He won't tell me anything. Till next time, we're out.